All right, if you've grabbed a Bible, or maybe you borrowed a Bible, or you've got an app, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And in the back, if you guys want to pull it up real quick, because I did not give them any scriptures beforehand. Luke 4, 18, NIV is what I'm going to be reading out of this translation. Luke 4, 18. This is Jesus speaking, so pay attention when Jesus speaks. Of course, you should pay attention to the whole Word of God, especially when it's in red in the New Testament. That means it's very important. These are words that came out of Jesus' mouth, straight from Him. And this is Jesus declaring something that we should all pay attention to. And this is what He says: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me." And then He goes on to say why He's anointed: "To proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus, in this little passage of Scripture, out of His own mouth, begins to let us know what really matters to Him. He begins to emphasize right away, if you want to know what I'm all about, you want to know what motivates me, you want to know what I care about for your life, I'm just going to go ahead and straight up let you know. I'm going to tell you straight so you don't have any question about it. There's no confusion about it. And He starts to list all of these things. He says, you want to know why I'm here? You want to know what really matters to me? He says, I'm here. I'm anointed to proclaim good news. What kind of news? Good news. I'm here to proclaim good news to the poor. What's good news to the poor? That you don't have to stay poor. That there is a wealth in the kingdom of God. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus is telling the whole world, announcing to everybody all at once, what I care about, what matters to me, is your freedom. What matters to me and what's important to me is your breakthrough. What matters to me and what's important to me is your ability to receive from God good news. Because how many of you have learned that life in itself is filled with all kinds of bad news? And what kind of church would we be if whenever you showed up here, you got more bad news? Sadly, there's a lot of churches like that. I'm not going there tonight. No, He says, I want you to know that I care about your physical freedom. I care about your spiritual freedom. I care about your mental freedom. I care about all these things. These things matter so much to me. In a nutshell, Jesus is letting every single one of us know what matters to me and what I care about is you. That's what matters so much to me, so much that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to provide this freedom for you. And of course, we all know that whatever it takes meant Jesus going to the cross. It meant Jesus raising 3 days later for you and I, for our freedoms. All right? This is so valuable, so important. And when I read this, I get stirred up, but I'm also challenged. I'm also challenged because I challenge myself not just as a pastor, not just as a person, but as a follower of Jesus. Am I caring about the same things that He's caring about? If this matters to Jesus and I'm following Jesus, then it should also matter to me. If Jesus is my Lord and I'm following Him and patterning my life after His teachings, and then He lets us all know this is what is most important to me, then it should also be important in my life as well. It should be important to us as a church as well. And I wrote this down: if we are in an intimate relationship with Jesus, then we are going to care about the things Jesus cares about. When we're in an intimate relationship with Jesus, we're going to care about the things Jesus cares about. And what does He care about? What does He celebrate? What is Jesus all about? He celebrates salvation. He celebrates healing. He celebrates freedom. He celebrates you being filled with the Spirit of God. He celebrates His favor upon your life. He celebrates you going out and sharing that good news with people in your lives. This is what He cares about. And if I had a prayer and a hope for a New Life Church, that is that we would all grab this truth. Grab this reality that what Jesus celebrates, we celebrate. That we become a church that celebrates salvation, celebrates healing, celebrates breakthroughs, celebrates deliverances, celebrates the favor of God, celebrates when God comes through, celebrates everything that Jesus celebrates. So much so that it's attractive to the rest of this world. Because remember, the rest of this world is filled with bad news. We are filled with good news. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And so we want to be a church that celebrates this faith, all about this freedom. And it's not that we don't celebrate people who serve, and it's not that we don't celebrate nice facilities and upgrades and all those things. We do, and we're pumped for all those things. But listen, the real reason we are here is to magnify and lift up the name of Jesus and to take that word and that truth that he has given us, that truth of freedom, that gospel, that good news, and share it and celebrate it, all right? Share it and celebrate it. And at New Life Church, we are not a church that just celebrates salvation in one of just many priorities, okay? No, salvation is the priority. Salvation, somebody giving their heart and life to Jesus Christ, isn't just a thing, it is the thing. It's the main thing. All right? Without that salvation, you got nothing else. Without Jesus Lord over your life, you got nothing else. Without celebrating the salvation, you know, that's not what this... And New Life Church isn't a church where we come in together and thank God for this, where we vote about, you know, what color the wall should be, and we vote about what kind of carpet we should have, and, you know, and people are like, I like green. Well, I don't like green. Well, I'm leaving. All right? And we don't vote on what kind of toilet paper we should have, which that should probably be something we do discuss, because it needs to be nice, soft toilet paper. Somebody say amen. That's an important decision. While I'm thinking about it, all right? But salvation is not on the same page as that. All right? Salvation, according to Jesus, this is why he came. This is why he was anointed. This is why God sent him to provide that salvation, that freedom for all of us. And so if he celebrates it, then we should celebrate it too. If it's important to him and it matters to him, then it should be important to us and it should matter to us, okay? I wrote a couple thoughts down about this. And so talking about celebrating salvation, I want you to write this down and I want you to remember it forever. If you forget, then I'll know because I'm going to ask you like in a week. What you celebrate, you elevate. Write this down. This is a principle in your life. What you celebrate, you elevate. See, when we elevate salvation in our own life, what we're doing is we're lifting up. When we celebrate salvation in our own life, we're elevating Jesus Christ. We're elevating that light that he's shown us. We're elevating that he's our Savior, he's our Lord, that we have this victory. We're elevating that. What you celebrate, you elevate, okay? And this is so important. So when we're celebrating something, and we're elevating something, what are the things that we ourselves should celebrate? Number one, it starts with your own salvation. You celebrate your own salvation. You should wake up every single day of your life and not one day take for granted that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and that you've been set free. Somebody say amen on that. That is a big deal. That is a big deal. That Jesus is your Lord, that you are saved, that you are loved, that your Heavenly Father has poured His grace, His mercy, His love, His peace in and through your life. And if nothing else matters, nothing else happens in your life, you've still got everything that Jesus died on the cross for. You've got salvation. You've got eternal life. And that is the most important thing. Because that's the one thing. That's the one thing. See, this is where I'm going to get to. And just let me rabbit trail off for a minute. I'm going to be a rabbit trail, and then Dave's going to try to shoot it, okay? Because that's what he does. I'm just joking with you, Dave. He's in a fishing mode right now, so maybe I'm safe. So I'm going to take a rabbit trail. Here's the one thing that you've got to understand, all right? The enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that passage, right? Jesus said, I came that you would have life, have it more abundantly. So we know Jesus is about life, and we know that Satan is about death. Everything that we typically apply our faith towards ends up being something materialistic for a lot of us, okay? Ends up being materialistic. A lot of times we're believing God for finances. We get the financial breakthrough, that's awesome. Sometimes we're believing God for a specific thing, like a car or a job and all kinds. The enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy those things. And all of those materialistic things are things that the enemy can and has and will still kill and destroy. But you want to know the one thing that he cannot touch unless you give it to him? Yours and my salvation. He can't touch it. He can't come anywhere close to it. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has covered us. And so everything else in this world, it may rust, it may fall apart, it may break down. Some of you guys believed God for cars that now you hate. 20 years ago, you were all about them cars. I'm driving a van right now that I'm thankful for, but man, I want to get it out, all right? I'm ready to replace it. But I remember 15 years ago when my wife and I were so excited about God sending us and, you know, giving us this van and blessing us and how he worked this out. And now I'm driving in this van and I'm like, oh my God, I hate this van. All right? It's because materialistic things, they come and they go. You know, the money, there's times where you have a lot of it and there's times where you don't. All right? God is still your provider. But there's one thing that the enemy cannot touch. He can't get it unless you give it to him, and that is your salvation, your relationship with Jesus. So that is the number one thing that you celebrate in your life. You elevate it, all right? You celebrate it like crazy. That's the one thing that you should brag on the most, is that Jesus is your Lord. That's the one thing that you should share the most with anybody. It's not that God blessed me with this, and God blessed me with that, and I got the new this, and I got the new that, and I got the... No, it's that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and no matter what I go through, he's there with me. Whether I'm up and I'm high and I'm great and life is great, he's with me. Or whether I'm low and I'm sad and I'm struggling, guess what? He's with me. Because Jesus is Lord of my life, and I'm celebrating this salvation. I'm celebrating. And again, when you celebrate it, you elevate it. Now, when you elevate something, all right, when you celebrate something, you elevate it, which means when you elevate something, God has a way of replicating it in your life. So there are a lot of you that have unsaved family members and unsaved friends, and you've not nearly celebrated your salvation like you should. Yes, they know you go to church. Yes, they know that you love God. But have you really been celebrating that Jesus is Lord, celebrating your salvation? Because when you celebrate salvation, you elevate it. When you elevate it, God replicates it in your life, which means if you really celebrate salvation in your life, you're going to see more of it. You're going to see more of it in your family. You're going to see more of it in your friends. You're going to see God really come through in your life, all right? This is how it works. So we start by celebrating our salvation. Number two, we celebrate the blessing of others. We celebrate when other people get blessed. I'm going to be honest with you. It's starting to aggravate me a little bit when I look on social media. And there's a reason why they call it social media. It's because the word media has the first two letters that really are what it's all about. Me. Oh my God, I'm going to totally preach a series on this. Like, I'm trying right now to not go there. I see more people fussing because they don't have something than I do people blessing and celebrating the fact that somebody else has. It happens. It's happening so much right now, and it's because we have drawn a circle around ourselves and just said, everything revolves around me. All right? And what you celebrate, you elevate. And a lot of people are not celebrating that God has blessed others. They're just fussing because God has not blessed them. I see that, and man, it breaks my heart. And when somebody else is blessed, as a believer, you and I are not just asked. We are commanded to celebrate for them, celebrate with them. All right? And if you're dealing with some jealousy, and I'm going to be honest, I just talked about my van, okay? Just talked about my van, and he's not here tonight, but our drummer Dave just got this sweet new truck. And the other day, on Sunday morning, I saw him getting in his truck, and I was like, Dave, let me see that truck, man. He's like, come on, Pastor. You know, Dave, he's so nice. He's like, come on in. He was like, have a seat on the front and sit in. And I got in, I like wiggled, buckled the seatbelt. Ooh, I feel the Spirit of God. Man, I was so jealous. I was like, what color am I? I'm green. I am so green. All right? I was so jealous. I had to fight it off. All right? But you know what the cure for jealousy is? Joy. It is. Joy is the cure for jealousy. All right? The reason why so many of us struggle with celebrating is because we're jealous of the things we should be celebrating in somebody else's life. Right? And if you can't be happy and celebrate when somebody else is blessed, it's not going to happen for you. Romans 12 says, we mourn with those who are mourning, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. That is what we do. So we celebrate salvation, number one, and then we celebrate the blessings of others and other, you know, when God blesses somebody. And I'm going to be honest, it's easier to criticize. That's why we do it. That's why people are always angry. Have you noticed that? People are always angry now. And they just stay. It's like rage is the initial response whenever anybody disagrees or when there's any kind of disagreement or argument. It's just rage. I'm like, man, people need to calm down, especially believers. You should get on Twitter sometime and read these awful arguments between believers, Christians. I mean, if they were face to face, they'd all be, you know, wussing out. But on Twitter, they're throwing blows. I mean, just crushing each other like it doesn't matter. And I'm reading this going, man, this is so unchristlike. And it's so easy to criticize in 2019 now than it ever has been. And it's not that the criticism is any better or any greater or worse. It's just there's more ways to share it. Before, you only had like that one friend you called and you'd talk about somebody. Now you get on Facebook and tell the whole world. And that's what's happened. It's so easy in this culture to criticize, all right? And I will tell you something as a habit and as a practice that I've done for probably the last decade. And a lot of you probably, you could do this, okay? New Life Church and your leadership, we are for other churches growing, making a difference in the kingdom and in this tri-state. And so never get yourself into a church war and a church conflict. Ours is better than yours and ours is this and ours. Cut that out. Shut that down, okay? Absolutely shut that down. And so what I've done is, as a habit, I drive by about 6 different churches on my way to this church. And every time I drive by them, I pray a blessing over them. Every single service, I pray a blessing over them, that they are growing, that they are thriving, that God is blessing, they are reaching and making a difference in this tri-state for the kingdom of God, that their pastors and leaders are blessed. And let me tell you something, New Life, when you celebrate the kingdom of God growing, even if it's not just your church, you elevate the kingdom of God growing. And guess what our heart is in this tri-state? To make Jesus Lord. We want Him Lord at New Life. We want Him Lord at River Cities. We want Him Lord at Lewis Memorial. We want Him Lord everywhere. And it's not going to... Listen, I love New Life Church and I'm thankful for what we do. And we do the best we possibly can. And we are going to be who we are. But this church right here, this sanctuary ain't big enough for this whole tri-state, is it? We need these other churches to grow. We need them thriving. We need them reaching. We need them speaking out. And so we bless those churches. And so when we see another church that's blessed, guess what we do? We bless them. We rejoice with them. We celebrate with them. When you got a family member that got something that you didn't, guess what you should do? Praise the Lord. When you got a neighbor down the road that pulls in a nice, nice, sweet-looking new ride, what do? Praise the Lord. When you're the pastor and your drummer just drove up in this sweet new truck, what do? Praise the Lord. You steal his truck. No, you don't. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Too many people cut themselves off from freedom and cut themselves off from the blessing of God because they criticize. They can't break out of criticism, all right? Get into a place where you rejoice, the joy of the Lord is your strength no matter what, and celebrate when God has blessed them, okay? My rule of thumb is if God is blessing them, I bless them too, all right? Don't speak against what God's doing, okay? This is another thought while I'm thinking about it. What you refuse to celebrate will eventually leave your life. It's the truth. What you refuse to celebrate will eventually leave you. It's how this works, okay? I'm no expert. But I know this: when cynical, sarcastic, critical people, when people are filled with, with criticism and they're sarcastic and they're bitter and they're angry, I've noticed this: they're not the people who change the world. They're not the people who God blesses. They're not the people who reach those that nobody else is reaching. All right, that's not how God works. All right, it takes people who are celebrating, who are building up, who are encouraging, who are blessing, not people who are tearing down, right? And so we're a church that will always celebrate salvation. We will always bless those who are being blessed. We will rejoice with those who are rejoicing, all right? And again, the more we celebrate, the more we elevate. And when we elevate, God replicates. All right, we see this happen more and more and more, all right? So we want to keep on celebrating salvation. We want to keep on celebrating the freedom of God. We want to keep on celebrating healings and miracles. We want to keep on celebrating staying filled with the Spirit of God. We want to keep on celebrating breakthroughs. That's what we're all about. Why are we all about that? Because Jesus was all about that. It's what we do, and it's what we do, all right? Another thing, we celebrate God's goodness in every situation. Every situation, we celebrate that God is good, that God is good. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to read verses 16 through 18. This is what the Bible says. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's telling us something, that no matter what we've gone through, no matter what we're dealing with, we always celebrate that God is still good. No matter what, all right? This statement is true. God is good. Everybody say that with me. God is good. He is a good God. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter whether the news was good, the report was good, or the news was bad, the report was bad. Does any of that change the fact that God is good? No. It in no way changes the fact that God is good. So that means this. As a believer, you and I have to be very careful to not view the gospel through our lens of circumstances. That means you and I have to be very cautious to not view this word and filter it through what we're going through, what we're feeling. All right? This word is not meant to be filtered through your emotions and through your feelings. The reason why is because your emotions and feelings tend to lie. When you're having a good day, guess what? God is good because you're feeling good. But when you're having a bad day, well, God's not as good today because I'm not feeling as good. And so we don't filter this truth through our circumstances or through our emotions. God's word is true despite, in spite of, no matter what you're dealing with or going through, all right? This is the truth, all right? Listen, we've all had those moments where we got sick or we were, you know, stomach issues and we're throwing up. Is God still good? Is Jesus still your healer? In that moment, do you feel healed? No. But is Jesus still your healer? Yes. Is God still good? Yes. He absolutely is. Nothing, no circumstances, no situation is going to change that, all right? I've even seen, and I've been in a faith church my entire life, and even people of faith have a tendency to still fall into this trap where they filter the Word of God and God's goodness through the lens of their circumstance. And when they go through dark times, they stop speaking, they stop celebrating God's goodness, they stop celebrating His breakthrough power. All they do is talk their mess. And they stay defeated until they wake up. They stay defeated until they turn this around, all right? Listen, flip that lens around. Start looking at our circumstances through who Jesus is, all right? Then we'll see that things are good. Jesus is still good. Even when things are bad, God is still good. Jesus is still Lord. He's still in charge. Even when we're lost and we're confused and we're not sure, He's our direction. He's our peace. He'll give you the answers. That's who He is, all right? But keep your eyes focused on Him and declare no matter what that God is good in every circumstance, no matter what. Lift Him up and celebrate His goodness, okay? And so we celebrate this. We celebrate the goodness of God when people find freedom. We celebrate the goodness of God no matter what, okay? I wrote it down this way. God does not cease to be good when our circumstances change. And that also means this. We don't quit on people because they're going through a difficult season. It means we don't quit and bail on people just because they're going through a tough time and we're not. In fact, that's the time where we should be there for them the most. That's the time where we should be celebrating the most, and that's who we're called to be. Again, why? It's because that's what Jesus said. He said, I came to give a good news to those who are poor. Poor folk, they're going through it. Times aren't great for the poor folk, all right? Times aren't great for those who are defeated and struggling. And if Jesus didn't bail on them when they were going through their most difficult time, then we don't either. We don't either. Fourth thing, we celebrate the things that God celebrates. What does God celebrate, all right? What, in other words, what you could say it is this: what does God affirm? I've been sharing a little bit of this because I've been thinking about it a lot on my Facebook page. And the other day I had a thought and I just shared this. I said, you know, God will never, even though he's so full of mercy and grace and love, you'll never see him justify or endorse sin. As much as he loves us, God does not endorse sin. Which means his love isn't quite like our love. All right? Our love in 2019 means do what you want. We're going to love you anyway. God's love doesn't work that way. All right? And so God will never affirm sin. All right? What does he affirm? He affirms salvation. He affirms his own glory. He affirms his grace rescuing sinners. That's what God affirms. That's why he sent this love. His love is sent to change us, to transform us. Is God's love available for us all? You better believe it is. But does God's love also demand a response from every single one of us? Yes, you better believe that too. God's love is not something you can just say, yeah, God loves me, and live your life however you want to. No, if you really believe God loves you, you're forced to make a decision and a choice with that love. Do I receive and accept and now live through and by that love? Because that is what God's love was sent for. It transforms us. It changes us. So God's love says, hey, I'm going to love you just the way you are right now, but guess what? I love you so much that I refuse to leave you this way. So God does his part, and then we do our part. And they both work together. They both work together. Don't attack what God affirms. Don't attack the things that God affirms, all right? Saving the lost. You know, seeing people saved, delivered, and healed. Seeing his glory poured out on this tri-state in ways that we can't even begin to describe and imagine. Seeing healings and restorations, seeing deliverances, addictions broken, seeing people blessed, and God raising up prosperity once again in this tri-state. All right? These are things that God and his word affirm. Don't attack the things that God affirms. All right? And so we are going to celebrate. We're going to start by celebrating our own salvation. We're going to be people who celebrate that Jesus is Lord no matter what. We're going to celebrate that he's our Savior, that we're forgiven, that we can wake up in the morning with peace, and we can go to bed at night with that same peace. And it's all in and through Jesus Christ, all right? Second, we're going to celebrate when others are blessed. We're going to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we're not going to attack what God is blessing. When God blesses them, so are we, all right? That's who we are, and that is what we're going to do. Then we're going to declare no matter what that God is good. That's who we're going to be known by. We're going to be people that are known and defined. Man, they really just trust God. It doesn't even make sense, but they're always talking about how good God is, that they're standing in faith and they're believing, and it doesn't make any sense. That's because God is good. That's because this word is true. And that's because this world doesn't define the truth of this word. This word infiltrates and changes what this world speaks, how this world reacts, all right? God spoke this world and formed the world, all right? Your world will be framed by the words you speak as well when you speak the truth of God's word. So no matter what, God is good. And the fourth thing is we're going to celebrate what God celebrates. We're not going to attack the things that he affirms. We're going to celebrate salvation. We're going to celebrate and rejoice when others experience breakthroughs. We're going to celebrate his healing power. We're going to celebrate the Holy Spirit of God and the gifts of the Spirit of God manifesting, not just in this church. Listen, we want it taking place in this church. We want it taking place every service. But you know, you want to know where we really want to see the Spirit of God moving? Outside these four walls. In your home, with your kids, at your job, all right? At Walmart, wherever. You need it most at Walmart. Wherever, okay? That's why we come here, to be stirred up, encouraged, given a word, so that we can go out there. You're not living in here. You're living out there. And that's where it's mostly applied, all right? Listen, the light doesn't need to shine brightest in the church. In the church services, the light needs to shine the brightest out in the dark world. All right? This is what we're called to do, and this is what God affirms. These are the things that God celebrates, all right? And so again, we don't attack what God affirms, and we don't take for granted these celebrations, because what you celebrate, you elevate, and what you elevate, God replicates.